the house of the Lord today. I know there's a lot of sickness, and I know there's a lot of you probably feel like I do. You don't really feel like being here, but I'm glad that I'm here this morning. Amen. You know, I hadn't looked at the Sunday school lesson or anything, but when Rick got up here and people started reading it, and I thought, well, this is going to make my message a whole lot more easier because it was right on line with it, Rick. And done a good job. But if you have your Bibles, we want to talk this morning about a few things. And we may go to a couple places this morning. And if you pray for me, and I need it this morning. I think these allergies, my throat has been raw last night and all. And wife's been sick. I don't think I've got what she's got or taking what she's taking. I just told her I didn't want it. I wasn't going to accept it. But do have a bad case of allergies this morning. But if you have your Bible, look with me in Mark 13. We've talked about this, preached from it and all, but I want to sort of go a little different way perhaps this morning. Mark chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading in along about probably verse 38. Mark 12:38, I think that's what I give them, but I've got 44. That's where we'll be taking a text from. And Mark 12:38, it said, and he said, talking about Jesus, and Jesus said unto them in his doctrine or his teachings, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutation in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich, they cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites or mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all are living. Timmy, will you actually bless it? Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Send, Lord, the Holy Spirit down this morning, God, to help us this morning. Yes, Jesus. Amen. You know, as there was one thing really stuck out to me, Rick, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and that word was willingness. I want to think this morning upon the thought of what are you trusting in this morning. I want that to sink in for a little bit. What are you trusting in this morning more than what you are trusting in God? You know, the Bible says that if we put our trust in anything, first of all, except the Lord, then we're in trouble.
Amen.
We're in trouble. You know, we can have a bank full of money down here.
That's right, brother. Come on.
But I want to ask you something this morning. If you are a millionaire, and I hope you are, but if you're like me, I doubt it. But if you are a millionaire this morning, and if you're bedfast, what is that wealth going to do you? You know, I've heard people say, and I guess I've said it myself, I don't have a lot, but I'm not poor either this morning, and you're not either. Because that is if you have Jesus. Because if you've got Jesus, really that's all you need.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
And if you believe what he said, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Come on, brother.
As Madison sang that song, I'm a winner either way.
Yeah,
if I go or if I stay.
Yeah.
So if you've got Jesus, you've got everything.
Amen.
If you've got Jesus, why do we really worry about things like we do? People say, well, how do you keep from worrying? You don't. If you do, well, you let me know and I'll try it. Amen. But really, I mean, there's a difference in being concerned and just worrying over everything. But you know, if we have our health this morning, then you consider that the greatest blessing of any blessing that you could have.
Amen.
I've said it, and I know I've heard different ones say it, that if I could only get well, I would give everything that I own just in order to get my health back. So you see, if you've got good health, and you have Jesus, then what else have you got to ask for this morning? Because if you've got Jesus this morning and you've got your health this morning, I think of that scripture in Philippians 4:19. I think of that probably more than any scripture in the Bible, especially, Brother Mark, when the problems and troubles starts coming my way. I think of what Philippians 4:19 says. It says, because my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we need to give God praise and glory for everything. Amen, this morning. We need to let God know that we love him sometimes. Amen. We need to give him a praise sometimes. You know, people come to your church sometimes, and it don't matter how good the preaching is or how good the singing is or anything else. If newcomers comes and they see you sitting there and preacher or teacher or singers are singing about grace of God and preaching about the love and the grace of God and talking about how we need to praise God and lift holy hands and praise him. And if they don't see the church doing that, then what are we setting an example for? I believe we need to praise God more. Amen. Let's give him a hand of praise and let's get loosened up a little bit this morning. I'm sure most of you feel a lot better than I do this morning physically, but there's not a one of you feel any better than I do spiritually this morning. You know, when we just come into God's house and we all get one mind and one accord heading in the same direction, got our mind set up on one thing, and that's worshiping God, then sure we're going to see God move. Amen. Some people might say, well, I don't believe in this. And I don't believe in that. Let me tell you something, friends. You better be careful, because when God moves, he's going to move on them that wants to move with him. Amen. We've seen that happen. I've never been, I don't think, in any powerful moving of the Holy Ghost than I was over there when was last Sunday night. I mean, when God came and the need were met, and I don't know about any of the rest of you, but I know I was blessed. I know somebody else was blessed. But let me tell you something. You need to realize when God says something, you need to step up and accept it. You know, we say, why are we not blessed more? It's not God's fault, because God has the blessings reaching out there. But let me tell you, if you don't want to be blessed, God's not going to bless you. But if you want to be blessed, you've got to do something to receive a blessing. I mean, thank God today. You know, if God hadn't done something, you and I would have still been lost and on our way to hell. But see, God done something. God gave us His Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And thank God today for that grace that He bestowed upon me and you and upon the whole world. You know, the world is sinful out there. The people in the world is sinful. Let me rephrase that. But let me tell you something. God's grace is still God's grace. And God's grace is not going to give up on them, no matter if they give up on God. Because Paul said, my grace, or God's grace is sufficient for all of us. That means sinner and saint alike. Thank God, church, for His grace that He gave to me. Hallelujah. One day, hallelujah, when I went down and I called upon God's grace, thank be unto God, He opened up the windows of heaven and He poured out His grace on me. Without God's grace, you're still lost today. Now, if you haven't accepted it, but I'm telling you, friends, if you have believed and accepted God's grace, then let God take you and use you to bless you with and to bless others with. Hallelujah this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Whew. Well, I don't know where that come from. Thank God. David said, and the psalmist said, I believe it's Psalm 27, wasn't it, or Psalm 28, somewhere along. He said, the Lord is my help and my strength. He is my help this morning, Brother John. He's my strength this morning. If we ever get to where God wants the church to be, amen, we're going to start seeing things happen. We have done started seeing things happen. And let me tell you, we don't need to be a looking back that what's behind us. We just need to be a looking up for what God still has in store for us. I don't know about you, but your past is your past. And my past is my past, Brother Bob. And I'm going to tell you something, church, this morning, Harrison. If God forgive me, then it's up to you. Whether you forgive me or not, it doesn't matter really to me. Amen. But it does matter to me that I know that God has forgiven me. I thank God for His grace. You see, you're not going to have anything to do with me going to heaven or not going to heaven. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Far as that goes, I can't make that choice for you. But you see, life is full of choices. We make choices every day. Amen. But Rick, thank God for that message this morning, brother. That'll stick with me forever. I may preach on it sometime about what we do. We need to have a willing heart to do it. Amen. We come in here, we need to be open to God. We need to be open and say, God, here I am. You just tell me what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you, if everybody, Sharon, would do that, amen, and quit sitting back and worrying about what somebody else may say or somebody else might think. I'm going to tell you something, honey. I don't care what people thought over there last Sunday night. I don't care what they thought. I don't care what they feel. I know what I thought. I know what I feel. And I know I left that building. And I know I was drunk till the next day. I was staggering. You say, well, preacher, you know, I said, come over there one time about being drunk. And somebody church went out through their ignorance. And they said, our preacher, well, that preacher over at Bloomington said he got drunk. Well, she's halfway truthful. Yeah. I did get drunk, but it wasn't old Jack Daniels, hey, man. Yeah, wasn't nobody. I was drinking that new wine, hey, man. I drank that new wine. I like it.
Amen, brother.
The more I drink it, the better I like it. You say, you alcoholic, I am. I can't get enough of Jesus. When I was a drunk, I was a drunk. Hey, man, I couldn't get enough to drink. I'd do anything to get a drink. I had an addiction, hey, man, just like some of you perfect people today. I mean, everybody's got a weakness. I had a weakness. I was an alcoholic, among many other things. Well, let me tell you something. When I got saved, that didn't stop my drinking. I just changed fountains. Hey, man. And I talk about that fountain this morning that he told the little woman at the well. He said, you drink that water. He said, you're going to thirst again. But he said, you drink that water that I'll give you. There'll be a well in you flowing up, running over. Praise God. We need to have a well pump put in sometime. Well, glory. Hallelujah. You know, I had a well pump to burn out the other day. I had a trouble getting it. I changed from jet pump to a submergible pump. And we're sitting there, and I was telling somebody about it. And I said, I got me a pump now. It sits in the, down deep. Then it does right on top of the ground. I said, man, it really pumps a lot better too. And I don't remember who I was talking to, but they said, you know, preacher, said we all need to prime our well sometimes. And I thought about that. And I thought, man, that would be a message sometime. Sometimes we need to get us a new pump. Yeah, amen. Hey, man, sometimes these old journeys, our pumps wears out. They sort of get dried out. They start putting out if you don't pump them enough and don't run enough out of them, the old water will get sort of stale. Did you ever taste the water that had been sitting for a long time? You know it don't taste good, does it? There's a lot of difference in drinking from an old calm well that water ain't running off from every day. It's not very good. But now you go to a well that's flowing all the time, amen, and you get you a good cold drink, there you go. I can drink and drink and drink of it. That's the way we are this morning. Exactly, sometimes it's not that we don't have the pump. Sometimes their pump is just wore out and he quits pumping. Hey, man, you know, he told the woman at the well, he said, if you drink this water, you're going to thirst again. He said, but now if you drink of the well or the water that I'm offering you to drink, it'll never run dry. Hey, man, he said, I'll have you. He said, when you drink it tomorrow, you're going to be back at this well and getting more of this. He said, but if you'll drink from my well that I'm offering you, he said, there'll be a well after. You won't have to come back to this well to get what I'm going to give you. Hey, man, because I'm going to give you a well of living water. Hey, man, ain't that good? I mean, to know that Jesus just don't bless every once in a while. Is it good to know God, that God blesses us any time that we want a blessing? All we got to do is call upon the Lord. I hear people sometimes going around, Christian people, and I'm telling you what, I'm glad I don't hang out with some of them, because if you do, you know Jesus warned us about that. Hey, man, I mean, you just run up on people sometimes that just complain about everything. They break a fingernail. They want to hold everybody to know it. Hey, man, they pull out an eyelash. They want everybody to know it. If their big toes are hurting, they want everybody to know it. Poor little me. I just have so much bad luck. Well, no wonder. If you go around expecting it, you're liable to receive it. Hey, man. The Bible says that we are what we speak. Hey, man. I told the devil one day when something was said, and they said, Ralph said, are you sure they ain't got nothing to matter you? I said, I'm sure there's nothing to matter with me. You sure you ain't got this or that? I'm sure I ain't got it. How do you know you? Because the Bible says I am what I speak I am, and I've done told the devil I'm not accepting that, and I haven't accepted, and I'm not going to worry about it. You see, we are what we speak this morning, and if we start doubting God, when God said, don't doubt me, he said, trust me. Some of you ought to be a shout in the rooftop. All of you say, well, why? Because I know some of you, he's healed from cancer. He's healed from heart attacks. He's healed time and time and time and time again. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know now where God healed you or not. I know God healed you, because if God hadn't healed you, you still wouldn't have been healed, because no doctor is going to heal you. Thank God for every doctor. You talk to this little woman sitting right here, what the doctor told her when she had what, a light run or whatever or something, and what was your stomach wasn't open. Is that right, sis? And she had come up and had prayer the other night. And she came back, what was Sunday night, and she had a testimony when we anointed her and prayed for her. And God blessed her, because she came up, wanted a miracle, and she came up Sunday night and accepted the truth, accepted God's word. Oh, she's like some of the rest of you. She sat back and waited and waited, thinking it might be somebody else, but God finally convinced her, hey girl, it's you. You need a miracle in your life, and if you don't come and get it, you're not going to get it. See, we've got to go ask for it before we get it. Because anybody say, hey man, is anybody hearing me this morning? Hallelujah. And she came back in what Wednesday night, and buddy, she was bubbling over. I said, well, she's got her miracle, and she got to testifying about it when she went back to the doctor one day this week. Cheryl, is that right? Am I telling this right? Went back Wednesday morning, and where her food wasn't going down, they thought blockage or something, and he was going to what, run the light again or check you again, and she went to the doctor, and she stood up, and said, the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. Let me tell you, God needs a praise in his house this morning. Amen. And let me tell you something. The good news is, all it takes just belief in God. Amen. I don't know who everybody else went on a trip, but I know me and Miss Searle went on a trip last Sunday night. People say, well, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't care whether you believe in it or not. You believe in it? How many believes in it? Well, good God, I'm surprised then. Why ain't there more of it going on? See, we've got to get into the realm of God. He told that same woman at the well, she said, we worship in this mountain. Jesus said, woman, there's coming a time you won't worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem. Because God is a spirit, and if you worship God, you're going to worship him in spirit. Amen. See, church, will we really mess up that? That's exactly. We go into church with a mindset, yeah. Well, what can I do this morning to please the Lord? What kind of work can I do this morning to please the Lord? Can I sing a song to please the Lord? Lord, can I get up and testify to please you? All you've got to do to please God is just come to God's house and be obedient. Amen. Get in the spiritual realm of things. Come on, brother. People say, well, I don't believe in that spirit. Y'all get talking about that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit. You scare me to death. Well, thank God you need to be scared if you're scared of that.
Come on, brother.
Without it, Jesus said, you ain't none of mine.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Without the Spirit of God, I don't care how many people say, well, there's more ways to heaven than through God today. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the way. There ain't but one way. You say, well, I don't believe in all this other stuff. I believe in Jesus. No, if you don't believe in the blessing, and you don't believe in these gifts, and you don't believe in nothing else in the Bible, then Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior. Amen. Because if he said it was for you, then it's for you. Amen. And he, see, we have a choice to accept it. When we get up this morning, we all had a choice.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We all had a choice when we got up this morning. We had a choice for to come to church. We had a choice for not to come to church. We really had a choice, or most of you had a choice, of what to wear at a church. Now, I'm a little different here. I didn't have no choice because my wife laid my clothes out and said, that's what you're wearing to church, and that's what I wore to church. Little did she know, I really don't care as long as my nakedness is covered up. Amen. I could do just as well in a pair of overalls, amen, and a pair of gum boots as I can in a suit this morning, amen. Matter of fact, I could probably do a lot better. I'd feel a lot better and a lot looser in them, amen. I never will forget when God called me to preach, and I was going to preach that night. And over here in my first sermon, I was going to preach. And my wife come through the house, bless her heart, and she come through the house, and she said just a pitiful look. She looked at me, some pitiful look. She said, honey, she said, I'm sorry, I don't have a suit and a tie for you to wear at your first sermon. I sat there, and I looked at her, and I said, man, I said, honey. She said, what? I said, if it takes a suit and a tie to make a preacher out of me, I just won't be a preacher. Yeah. Oh, man. Amen. I know a little bit more about the Bible than what y'all think I do. I thought I'd be one day the holiday. I thought, man, I'm going to really dress up today. I'm going to show them people. I got a suit. I never bought one, but other people bought it for. And I put on a suit, and I put a big necktie on, you know, and boy, I come to church, and I was like these other preachers. You ever notice these other preachers wear these ties? I'm not preaching on ties, don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what I am preaching on here in a minute. You ever see them, they get up and get to preaching their tie, guess what? And they'll grab their ties, and they'll look down and try to pin them. They come unpinned, they'll stick them down their breast, and they're just fooling with their ties more than they are anything else. Well, you know something? First tie I ever wore, I thought, boy, I'm really something now. I'd preached a few sermons, got me a suit and a tie. Sure enough, I put it on, boy, and I walked in that church there just like I was somebody, some big preacher, you know. And I got up there and I started preaching, and the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of me, and I got to sweating, and the longer I preached, the harder I preached, that old necktie just kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Yeah. And directly I wrenched and I jerked that thing loose and I throwed it back over me. And you know something? I ain't had it back on. Come on, that's been years. The Bible said if anything offends you, to get rid of it. Now these preachers, I'm not preaching on them at worst times. They look nice and everything. I just ain't one of them. I don't preach to look nice. I preach to feel free. But I tell you, I've seen preachers pull at them ties, you know, and trainers pull at them ties. Anybody ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you have. So y'all know I ain't lying about it. But see, it's bugging me. That thing just flying back and forth, and I'd try to catch it, you know, and look down, you know, and I'm just all over the place. But when I got rid of that thing that was flying around in my face, it was worse than an Obama baby. And I got rid of it, throwed it behind me. Then I got blessed. Wasn't no blessing in that tie, who I wore it or wore it wasn't. See, it was just to bother me. And the Bible says anything that offends you, get rid of it. If you want to wear a tie, don't worry about what I think about it. Wear a tie. Amen. If you don't want to wear one, I don't care. Don't wear one. That ain't got nothing to do with it. See, God give us choices what we do. Give us choices what we do. A lot of people looks at other people on how they're dressed, and they judge them to how righteous they are. Huh? Well, I didn't get many amens there. I said, a lot of people will look at us, and you look at other people. We're no different than anybody else out there.
Right.
We'll look at others, how they dress, how they fix their hair, what kind of clothes they wear. Amen?
Amen.
And they will judge their righteousness for what they wear. Jesus said, you judge the outer appearance, I'll judge the inner. But let me tell you this much, I believe with all my heart, when God changes the inside,
Come on. The outside.
Look out, preacher.
Come on, brother.
He's also going to change the outside.
Right. Come on.
You say, what do you mean? I believe what we might be used to going naked at, you know, and tempting the opposite sex. Say, well, there ought to be a looking. Well, if you ain't got advertising or got it for sale, you don't need to be advertising it. Boy, that didn't go over very well,
come
did
on,
it?
Brother.
Can I hear a amen in here?
Amen,
I said, if you ain't got it for sale or to give away, don't be advertising
amen,
it.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible does say we need to cover up our nakedness.
Yes, it does. Brother.
He said you need to put on some eye salve. God, what did that, Lord, what do you got me into here this morning? See, now he's quit preaching and went to meddling. No, it's the Word of God.
That's exactly, brother. It's
the Word of God. You know, brother, a lot of people don't like me because I preach the truth. I'm not afraid of the truth. Hey, some people out there are afraid of the truth. And that's why they stay so bound up and so nervous and so, you know, and everything. Afraid they're going to say something wrong. If God said it, it's all right to say it. Amen. If God preached it, it's all right to preach it. Amen. See, it's not my word. It's God's word this morning. I'm just a little messenger boy. Amen. But if you want to blame me for it, go ahead and blame me for it. I don't care. But what I'm saying is, I like the truth. Does anybody like the truth in here? You know, the Bible said if you know the truth will do what? The truth will set you free. Amen. Now let me tell you something. If you know the truth and you don't do the truth and don't accept the truth, then you're not going to get no blessings. Amen. You're going to struggle in your life financially, mentally, spiritually, and everything else. But if you know the truth and you follow the truth and if you do the truth, the Bible said we need to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. We've got a lot of people that hear the word. They'll say, amen you plumb out of your clothes. You know, hey, careful. But let me tell you, hearing it and doing it is two different things.
Amen,
we need to hear it, but then we need to live it.
Right.
What'll kill the spirit and what'll kill a church quicker than anything else is somebody get up here to the pulpit and they'll preach one way, and then you see them out here the next week living absolutely a different way. Can I hear a amen? I'm going to tell you something. God ain't going to bless that preacher, this preacher, or no other preacher. And God is not going to bless that church when they stand up and they preach one way and get out here and they do another. Amen. Just to look good for their own self. Thank God for the scripture. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God today. And I am the grace of God today, what God has bestowed upon me. And thank God for His grace today that He gave me. And you know, God could have took me out of this world anytime. But you know, God's grace and God's love, He had something for me. Did you know that? He had to have. I must be doing what God had wanted me to do or He'd have killed me a long time ago. He would have, Mark. And see, when I got saved, oh, I was saved. I was going to church. I was doing a little bit in the church. But still, I was holding back on God. Mm-hmm. See, I just give God part of me.
Yeah.
Just give God part of me. And see, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. I was miserable. I could find fault in everybody else.
Yeah.
And some of them faults that I've seen in everybody else, I had that same fault. But see, I wasn't seeing my fault. Do you ever notice how easy it is to see somebody else's fault?
Amen, brother.
Did you ever go look in the mirror and say,
oh, yeah, it's here.
Say, oh, it's not here. I don't have no fault. You tried sometime.
It's here.
You can't stand to look in the mirror at yourself if you're lying to God.
That's right.
You can't. But if you know the truth will set you free. Ricky was talking about it this morning. About giving, giving, giving. Of course, it's not just all about money. It's not all about money. But that's one thing God requires that you got to do to upbuild His kingdom, right?
Yeah.
You know, you start talking about money and people, boy, it really gets quiet. They really get caught. But it's not all about that. It's about doing it willingly. If you do it grudgingly, if you're going to do it grudgingly, listen to me. If you're going to give to God financially or give to the church, this is God's church. God don't need your money. We need to get that straight right now. God don't need your money. He owns it all. Amen? So first of all, God don't need it. But when you give to God, and God takes it and He blesses it to upbuild His kingdom with. If there hadn't been a church here and people hadn't a give of tithes and offerings and worked so hard, how many of you would still been outside the doors lost and without God?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
But see, you have worked. You have worked. You have give and give and give. That God could take it and use it to bless us with. Amen? Well, some people say, well, our church don't need it. Some people think the church owes them a living. I've been out and I've talked to people. Larry, and they said, well, what do you give me to come to church? I said, I ain't going to give you nothing. As far as money's concerned. But if you'll come, I'll give you something that you really need. And that's the Word of God. See this little woman here. This little woman here. So Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld, looked, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now right now, I'll guarantee you, if the truth was known, there's some of you sitting in this building right now. I'm not accusing you, I hope not. But saying, well, what was he doing looking how much anybody give anyway? Wasn't none of Jesus' business. He wasn't looking to see how much and how little people give. And the Bible said in verse 42, and there came a certain poor widow. Now remember, this is a widow. And she was a poor widow. And she threw in two mites, mites or whatever, which make a farthing. Does anybody know how much money that is? Anybody know how much money that is? 1 cent. 1 cent. All kind of money. Listen to this. And he called unto him. They were just a mint with a little bitty stamp is what it was. And I don't get mine as food stamps back then because they didn't have such a thing I don't get. But it was stamp. It was money. A little piece of money. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples. Notice what he done. And said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want or willingness did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I want you to think about that for just a minute. We've read this preached on it, but I want you to do some thinking. See, it wasn't about how much she gave. It was about where she gave it from. Do you think that this little woman was worrying about where her next meal was going to come from? You say, boy, I would have. I wouldn't have given my last penny to no church. First of all, you don't give it to the church, you give it to God. That's out of the way. It wasn't the amount she gave that caught Jesus' eyes and touched his heart. But it was realizing, he realized that she gave everything she had for help building his kingdom. Think about that. She gave everything she had of herself. I don't see where she sat and regretted it, where she's like me sometimes didn't worry about things. But she of her own will cast in all that she had. That touched my heart this morning. Does that touch anybody's heart this morning? See, Jesus said over in verse 29, he said, and Jesus answered him when a scribe, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, or one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord, in verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these two.
Amen.
Charity. Love. Love, church. Love one another. Mm-hmm. Pray for one another. Care for one another.
Amen, brother.
And when you come to church, give God whatever He asks you to give.
Amen.
And you will be all right. You will be blessed. That's not a promise from this preacher altogether. This is a promise from God this morning.
Amen, brother.
God wants to see His kingdom grow. As a church, we ought to be following God. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to want what God wants. And all He wants is us to follow Him and do His will. And if we'll do that, you're going to be blessed and your children are going to be blessed from generation down through generation. You say, well, I've served God, but I've got some kids that are just way away from God. I worry about them all the time. You need to claim them. I've claimed mine. God said, you can't save them. You can't straighten them up. I can. You just claim them. Now, I might take them down the road where they don't want to go, but you claim them, and I'm going to give them to you. And I put my trust in the Lord today. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I feel like moving up a few notches. Amen. I do. I feel like moving up. I do. I feel like coming to church, not just to be a number, but I believe we need to come to church to be part of a church. And I believe when we come to church, we need to come to church for one purpose, one person only, and that is to worship the living God. Amen. Because that's what it's all about, Brother Larry. Amen. That's all it's about. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know, I'm not blessed. Well, you need to check with God, because if you don't feel like you're blessed, there's something out of sync with you. Not God, but you. Amen. So you just need to find out what it is. If you can, come back out to church tonight. Man, we used to have good crowds on Sunday night, but it's just like a lot of other churches. I mean, they've just started dropping out slowly, slowly, slowly. Sunday night and on Wednesday. We used to have 70, 75, 80 here on Sunday night. Now then we have 50, 55. Wednesday nights, we used to have around 60, 65. Now then we're running about 30, 35 a lot of time. What's wrong? Has God changed? See, that's the way the devil will get you, a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. You say, well, I can't get in and out of them services. Well, you're going to get out of whatever you put in them. Been a long, long time since I got a blessing like I got last Sunday night. But I come and I made up my mind, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And I'm going to enjoy it. And you can laugh at me. You can believe it. You can not believe it. You can do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Stand with me this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, right here is this altar. You preachers, step up here and be willing to pray. My throat's dry. Every head bowed in the house. The Holy Spirit cannot do its work as long as you're moving around, and as long as you're looking around, and as long as you're whispering, and as long as you're playing on your phones. The Holy Spirit is going to pass you by. And you may miss out on the greatest gift that there is. Just keep your head bowed and just talk to God, you and God, as they sing this invitation. Let's all take a check on ourselves this morning.
More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, more than anything in my life I've got to make it. Take my possessions, grand or small.
People are making their way up here.
Friends and family, Lord, just take them all.
I don't
more
have anything
than
to offer
anything
you, but Jesus does it.
In my life I've got
to
make
it. You're not enjoying your salvation.
More than anything in my life I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in. this great book of life, I've got to hear him say, well done, enter in, my child, you've won more than anything. In my life, I've got to make it. All I have, I've come to know. I'll gain this world and lose my soul. More than anything, in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the faith, then I'll see my Savior's face. More than anything, in my life, I've got to make it. More than anything, in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter in, my child, you've won more than anything. In my life, I've got to